John chapter 12, I invite you to turn back to that passage, entitled our message tonight, The Light of Christ, and just let's unite our hearts together as we come to the preaching of God's precious Word. Lord, we realize tonight afresh Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this burden of sin. O Lord, we realize the work of our hands cannot attain salvation, not works of ours, but Thy righteousness, Thy work, O God. And we thank the Lord for that work at Calvary. We thank the Lord for the person of Christ of whom we've been singing about. We thank the Lord for the words that we have read of the Savior tonight. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This spake he of the death wherewith he should die. Lord, we thank thee that he set his face toward Jerusalem, toward Golgotha's brow. We bless the Lord that he was lifted up. And O God, the work of redemption was accomplished. We praise Thee tonight, Thou wert yet drawing souls unto Thyself. Lord, I pray, Thou would draw a soul in this congregation tonight unto Christ. Lord, we pray Thou would have mercy. Lift the scales from off eyes, blinded, darkened eyes. We pray that Thou would give a reception in the heart to the Word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bring every thought into captivity, even despite themselves. O God, speak tonight. Speak, Lord, I pray. Speak to me and through me. I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit. Thou would give us words that must and shall prevail. Remember, Lord, those listening in, those looking in from afar off, some other lands, Lord, be pleased to even minister to their hearts as well. And O God, tonight, we pray that our testimony might be the Lord was there. And the Lord spoke to our heart. Lord, give us words that must and shall prevail. Give us prevailing words, we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. There are some things in the Scriptures we must confess, while we cannot fully understand them, yet we must be content to reverently believe them. The words of the Savior in verse 45 might constitute one example of that. The Savior said, "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." It causes us to realize that the Savior was not like the prophets or the patriarchs. One merely a man sent from God the Father, a friend of God or a witness of God, in the sense that the prophets and patriarchs were. But Christ was something far greater and far higher than that. He was in His divine nature essentially one with the Father. And so in seeing Him, men were seeing the Father who sent Him. And so when a soul believes in Christ, then they are believing not merely on Him, but on Him that sent Him. But you know, men and women, it was a truth that even the disciples found difficult to comprehend. You turn over just to the next chapter and you'll find Philip. And you'll notice what he says to the Savior in John 14, verse 8, how the Savior responds to him. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." It speaks of the oneness. It speaks of the unity that Christ had with the Father. But from these words, and I'm particularly going back to the chapter which we read, from these words the Savior also speaks of His mission. Not only of the unity He has with the Father, but of His mission, or the errand, if you like, or the great end and object of Him coming into this world. You might think a minute with me of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a mission and an errand, and it was as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And thus he spoke of one whom he was unworthy to loose the latchet of his shoe. He pointed out to the people their need of repentance. He showed them the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. John had a mission to do. And he was faithful in doing it. And the Lord, in speaking of him, was to say this: he was a burning and a shining light. And dear people, it is a similar language in which we find the Savior saying in this very instant. He testifies freely that he had mission to do, for he said, I must work the works of him who hath sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. From the foundation of this world, from the councils of eternity past, it was agreed amongst the Godhead that one day the blessed Son of God should come to this earth to do a work. And the Savior, in describing that work, he is found to use one of his favorite illustrations, and that is the light. You'll notice in verse 35, he has already been speaking of that light. And now he is found to return to that theme. And as we approach, men and women, the time of the year where the nights are becoming shorter than the daylight hours, for next week the clocks go by or go forward, I want you to consider tonight, I want you to give consideration to the light of Christ. As he speaks of it in my text in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Lovely wee text of Scripture. I want us to go into it tonight. I want you to consider, first of all, with me, the darkness of this world. If you go back to the beginning of time, when this world was created out of nothing by the Godhead, we are brought to consider the fact that there was a physical darkness which prevailed and covered the face of the earth. Can you imagine what it would have been like? A thick darkness to be resting over all the earth. And there's no light. Just complete darkness. But in the great creative plan of God, the first day was to see the dispelling of that darkness. For we read that God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was when the Lord God had created that light that he called it day. And the light was to divide the darkness. And therein lies the reason why we have hours of daylight and we have hours of darkness. The light was called day, the darkness, it was called night. When we speak of this, we do so, of course, in the physical sense. But my friend, tonight we would likewise say that this world, in the spiritual sense, is also one of darkness. This is a world which abideth in the darkness of sin. That's the sense of the closing words of this verse of the Savior, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And what's more, that being the case, it is also true that men love darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. There's no one, surely, who can say that this world is getting better. The Scriptures remain to be true, where they say that things are waxing worse and worse. There is sin to be found in every hand. And we've only got to look at some Scriptures to really see that to be the case. And we're able to apply them and to realize that they're speaking very much of our own present age. Let me turn you to 2 Timothy chapter 3, for example. You just come with me and read the opening number of verses in this chapter, 2 Timothy 3. And Paul is writing here to young Timothy, the pastor, and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Times that are hard to bear. Hard times. You might ask, when is the last days? The last days is from the first appearance of Christ to the second appearance of Christ when He comes back again for His people. We're in the last days. And Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guided as one of those holy men, he spake as he was moved upon by the Spirit, and he was to write these words. He says, "Timothy, know this also, that in the last days perilous times, difficult times shall come." And he then elaborates upon that, where he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." You make your way down those verses, even slowly tonight. You can see that those things apply to this day and generation which we live in. Every one of them's true. But you know, if that is not sufficient, then you turn back with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and the verse 27. And what we're bringing out to you is that the Scriptures are true. Days are waxing worse and worse. There's sin in every hand. Look at verse 27. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them." What you've just read with me tonight is some of the darkest words in all of Scripture. It's some of the darkest catalogue of sins that you will come across. You will notice in these words that they speak of the sodomite. Indeed, they speak of all sorts of immorality and sin that is prevalent in society. You see, when God spoke about sodomy, He didn't confine it to the Old Testament Scriptures. Their character is clearly revealed in these verses. "And His anger rained upon them with fire and brimstone in the days of Lot." And it is no surprise, therefore, of what we read of Dr. Luke and what he says. For if you look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 28, you have the days prior to the Savior's coming again. And it's described like this: "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Listen, even thus shall it be in the day wherein the Son of Man is revealed. Look at this land tonight. And in accordance to the Scriptures, we must say that it is steeped in darkness. Sin abounds in every hand. There is a thick darkness overshadowing this old world. Where there's darkness, then it manifests itself in people not being able to see where they're heading. And the Lord said the same in verse 35, "For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." the state of natural man who was born in sin and shapen in iniquity has meant that he has no real concept of where he is heading, where he is going eternally. He is as one who is physically blind. His eyes are not open to the spiritual truths of the Word of God. The darkness of this world prevents him from seeing the dangers and the pitfalls and the eternity that the devil has laid out for him. It is the aim and object of the God of this world to keep you in that darkness and to prevent the light of the gospel shining through into your heart. You see, men and women, the devil is content. He is happy to keep the sinner in the state that they're in this evening. For he is desiring that you would continue as you were and as you are. Blind along that road that you're traveling, and one day fall into that place which is known for its eternal darkness. You see, it is with such words that hell is often described in the Gospels. I think of that man who sought to get into the wedding feast without having the wedding garment on. He may have looked so much like the other guests. There's no one paid any heed to him. That is, until the king came in himself. And you see, he's a man who sought to get into the wedding feast, just like Cain sought to appease God through some other way. There's only one way to please God, and that is by the way of the blood. By the sacrifice and the slain lamb. And therein lies the reason why Abel's offering was acceptable. And there's many today, and they believe that they shall get into heaven other than by the way of the cross where the Lamb of God was slain. If I am a churchgoer, if I am a good person, if I seek to do no one any harm, if I support the charities, even the work of the church, then I'll get to heaven one day. My friend, there's only one way that leads home. And that's the way of the cross. What was said about the man who hadn't got on the wedding garment? I want you to listen to the verdict. I want you to listen to the command that the king gives. For we read in that passage, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Listen, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see how hell is described? It's described as outer darkness. Dear sinner friend, this world is no friend of God. It is a world of darkness, and for all who go the way of the world will one day end up in eternal punishment and in that eternal darkness. And that's why we warn you. And that's why we preach to you. And that's why we would exhort you lest you go on another step. And lest you would fall into that darkness forever. And the cry is, too late. Too late. You see, my text reminds us of the darkness of this world. And the darkness of a lost eternity to which you're going. But my text also shows us the coming of the Savior. I said to you that the Savior is speaking of the purpose of His coming. And that can be noted from the words in our text, for He says in verse 46, I am come a light into the world. We've looked at the last words of the verse. Now I want you to look at the first sentence, the first words. I am come a light into the world. When we think of the glories that He had with His Father, of that place where there's no night, and that place where there's no need of the sun, and there's no need of the moon. For the glory of God does lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's what heaven is. Yet when we think of where the Son of Man dwelt, the Son of God, then to think of the world to which He came, this world of darkness because of sin, then we are compelled to think of His condescension. We're compelled to think of His humility. Why should the Son of God want to come to such a place as this? It must be because He loved us and He wanted to see of lost mankind from their sin. He desired that they would be brought into the light of the gospel, and instead of facing an eternal darkness, that they would have hope and they would have assurance of an eternity in heaven. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now there is a truth that I want you not to miss from these words. For the Savior says in our text, He says, I am come a light into the world. Those words can only be said of Christ. For they teach us that Christ existed before He came to this world. You see that? His existence did not just commence when He was born as a babe in that manger. He existed prior to that. And what's more, He was always light. You see, He says, I am come a light into the world. When we consider the sky, the sun in the sky, it exists and it shines continually even before it arises on the eastern horizon. Even before you and I would see it in the morning, the sun still exists and the sun shines continually. And so it is with Christ. He told His people that we are to be the light of the world. But they do not come a light into the world. This is only said of Him who is the Lord and who is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. And just as the sun in the sky comes and it sets its rays upon the darkness so as to dispel them, so men and women was the mission, so was the errand of the Savior's coming into this world. He came as a light so that men and women could be brought out of the darkness of their sin and they might be brought into glorious light of the truth of the gospel of saving grace. And you know, the very commencement of John's gospel, he brings out this very thought and truth. He says in John 1 and verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Unless there should be any confusion over the meaning of that word comprehendeth, it simply means this: it didn't admit it, or it didn't receive, or it didn't accept it. The Lord Jesus Christ had come. He had come as the light to shine in the dark place, but the world would not receive that. The world would not admit that light, and there's nothing that has changed in its rejection of the Savior and of the message of the gospel. It still hasn't accepted the Christ of God. The evolutionists will not accept, nor will they admit that this world was created by God. They don't accept Genesis 1. Now, they don't accept Genesis 1 and the opening chapters of Genesis. They don't accept the rest of the Bible either. They do not accept that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days out of nothing. They would rather rest on a theory of a man. He will not admit that. Why? Because to do so, we'll have to admit that He is a sinner. He is an inferior being, and there is a greater Creator God. And if He's a sinner and if He's an inferior being, then that means He needs a Savior to save His soul. He will not admit that God created all things. For to admit that, He has to admit one day He'll have to stand before that Creator God. He'll have to stand before the God of all the earth. And to this day, the world hates the light. It hates the blessed Son of God, and of itself will not come to that light. You know, of course, if you stand before a light, it shows up all the flaws, it shows up the marks, it shows up the blemishes. And that's why this world will not come to the light of the world, because to do so will expose its sin. John chapter 3, in the words of verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But Christ came as the light. And he did so that his rays would shine upon those that sit in darkness. For I read of Luke 1 and 78 and 79, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Dear soul, you're sitting in darkness tonight, the darkness of your sin. You're sitting in the shadow of death tonight. You have a fear of death, but God in Christ has come that He might show you the way of life, that He might show you the light, and He might give you peace. He came so that He would go the way of the cross. And all the suffering and shame that went along with that, the blessed Son of God took the sinner's place. He died in the sinner's place instead. He died the sinner's death. He bore our iniquities and our sins on His own body so that we might be saved. For the price to be fully paid, He who is the light that came into the world, He plunged into the darkness and into the depths of the cross. The Father could not bear to look upon Him who had become sin. And the sun in the sky could not shine. It was darkened. There was darkness over the face of the earth for those 3 hours. I want you to listen to how the hymn writer pens it. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He found the sheep that was lost. Out in the desert He heard its cry, sick and helpless, ready to die. There's none of us by word can express how dark was the depths that the Savior went into at Calvary in redeeming His people unto Himself. He entered into that darkness that He might deliver His people from it. He paid our hell. A dear sinner, you would never have to. What a wonderful Savior. I am come a light into this world. Your unsaved friend, that is what Christ has done for you. He has come as that light. And bless God, there is a way which has been opened up from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that has been opened that you may enter in. But it's at Calvary's cross. That's where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus. I wonder, will you come this evening? You see, in my text, there's the coming of Christ. There's the coming of the Savior. But if we can look at the middle words, there's also the promise of salvation. But the Savior says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. Not only does the verse instruct us of this world that lies in darkness because of sin, not only does the verse tell us that Christ is the only light for mankind, just as there's only one sun in the sky, so there's only one Savior. Only one way to that eternal light. But it also instructs us that which is required of man if he is to be brought from darkness into that light. You see, there's a promise here, a promise found in my verse. Or look at it. It says that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. What must you do in order to be brought out of the darkness of your sin? What must you, sinner, do in order to escape the eternal darkness of hell forever? Simply, you must have your faith in Christ. Or as these words would bring out in our text, you must believe. It doesn't say that you pay so much into the church. It doesn't say that you must make a pilgrimage at least once in your lifetime to some place in this earth. It doesn't say that you must try and be as good and as neighborly as you possibly can. No, it simply says you must believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for sinners in obtaining a full and a free salvation. It's not merely believing about God. It's not a mere a belief that there is a God. There's not merely a believing even that this whole book is true and it's God's Word. See, the devil believes those things. The devil believes there's a God. The devil believes in the power of God's Word. But rather it is a saving belief which has been spoken about. It's a believing with the heart, a faith which rests not in anything that you can do, but it rests in the work that has been accomplished by Christ on the cross. The words of Romans 10 and 10, they may be summed up and tell it to us. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the person who believes in Christ and accepts Him as their Savior, then there's the comfort, there's the promise that they will no longer dwell in darkness, but they'll be brought from darkness to light. They'll be brought from death to life. It is as if the Savior in these words is teaching that He has arisen on the world like the sun in the firmament of heaven, in order that all who will believe to the saving of their souls shall be delivered from spiritual darkness and they'll be enabled to walk in the light of spiritual life. And the Lord saves you, He just doesn't leave you. He gives His Holy Spirit to you to dwell within, to help you to walk for Him, to help you to walk with Christ. I want you to notice to whom did the light of the world come to whom is extended this offer of mercy. You see, it has it here in our text. It says, in the words of verse 46, that whosoever believeth on me, the Scripture says in Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The sun in the sky, it just doesn't shine upon one place. It stretches across the face of the earth. And so the message of redeeming love, the message of Christ and His pardon for sinners and His deliverance for those who dwell in the darkness of their sin, it stretches across the earth from north to south, from east to west. It goes beyond boundaries of creeds, of nations, of tongues. You see, it is for the whosoever. And I wonder tonight, will you put your name in there? I am come a light into the world, that if, and you by name put your name in, that if you believe in me, you should not abide in darkness. That's God's word. That's God's promise. That's why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, lost in the darkness of their sin. He came into the world to save sinners. That was His errand. That was His mission. He came to deliver you from nature's darkness and from your sin, and so that one day you might dwell in heaven and you might be with Him who is the light thereof. And if the Lord saves you tonight, and you'll be able to go forth and you'll be able to tell of all that the Savior has done for you. And you will be showing forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. But men and women, conversely, for those who reject the Savior, and for those who still refuse the message of the gospel, and for those who will not accept Him, and they will not receive Him by faith, then they will abide in the darkness of their sin. And what is it? It is but a prelude to hell. It's a prelude to hell. For there is the blackness of darkness forever. And the warning of judgment is here too. For if you drop your eye just to verse 48, you'll see it. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And the last day you'll stand before Christ. And you'll have the words of Christ come back to you. And these words of verse 46 of John 12 on the 20th of March 2016, they will judge you. I am come a light into this world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness, but you rejected it. And my words, they shall judge you in the last day. Christ says. I wonder tonight, will you come? Will you make sure of heaven? Then turn to Christ by faith, who is the light of the world, and be saved. And your testimony will be this evening, I was brought from darkness to light. I was brought from the power of Satan unto God. 20th of March, I was born again of God's Spirit. The light of the gospel dawned on this dark soul of mine. And I was saved. That can be your testimony. I wonder, will you come? The light of Christ. May God help you to do so. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. We're here afterwards as God's servant for your sake. I'd gladly point you to the Savior. Oh, my friend, don't put it off. Come tonight. There's a wee chorus that says this, whosoever will, send a proclamation over veil and hill. As the loving Father calls a wanderer home, whosoever will may come. I wonder, will you put your name in there? Jesus is the true and only living way. Whosoever will may come. Will you come tonight? God help you to do so. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank the Lord for the simplicity of this text. We praise the Lord that there is one who is the light that came into this world, that whosoever believeth in him should not abide in darkness. And O God, I pray in the closing seconds of this meeting that I might, Lord, by thy Spirit, open the blinded eyes, they might behold him who is the light of the world. I pray, O God, that thou would give deciding grace for that soul that's abiding in the darkness of their sin and in danger of eternal darkness and eternal damnation in a lost eternity. God, that thou would bring them tonight. Thou would draw them to the foot of the old rugged cross. And tonight thou would give them the gift of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. Thou would, Lord, transform them, translate them from the darkness of Satan into thy marvelous light. O God, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us in thy fear and thy favor. Be unto us all that we would need. May the best yet to be tonight, for we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.